Thank you, Brother Kiley, and good evening. Boy, you need to pray for my voice tonight. Been fighting a bad sinus for all week, but I know the Lord is able. You know, the saints prayed for me before the meeting. They encouraged me, and I know he's able to see me through. Tonight we're going to be looking at a verse of scripture that has been spoken on more this Christmas season than any other verse in the Bible. And that is in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The title of the message tonight is The Prince of Peace. The whole world seeming to be grasping for peace. Since 1918, for every year of war, there has only been 2 minutes of peace. Consider that. Since 1919, the nations of Europe alone have signed 200 treaties for peace and have broken every single one. Peace in this dark world. Could there be any peace? Only through the blood of Christ. On January 30th, 1973, Patrice Tamio of Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic allowed himself to be nailed to a cross that he might bring world peace. And he volunteered to stay there for 24 hours. The whole world watched him as they drove those 6-inch stainless steel nails through his hands and through his feet. But after 20 hours, infection set in on his right foot, and they had to take him down from the cross. The newspapers carried the article the next morning as the headline, Crucifixion for Peace Falls Short. Friends, let me tell you tonight, 1,000 years ago, allowed himself to be crucified that he might bring peace to a troubled world. And his crucifixion did not fall short, because he cried at the end, "It is finished." Do you want that peace tonight? Let me ask it differently. Do you have that peace tonight? You can, if you would but just come and trust the Lord Jesus as your very own. Tonight we want to look at 4 simple points. We want to divide it up first into the Lord Jesus' incarnation. Then we want to look at his manifestation. And then his occupation. And then his designation. First, his incarnation. A child born. The prophet Isaiah sees the gift child as he's already born. We want to first look at its prophecy. We want to look at its first mention. We looked a little bit at it this morning. We'll look at it in a little different angle tonight, Genesis 3:15. And that's what it says. Way back in the first book of the Bible, it prophesies is coming. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, not his seed, her seed. It says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman is clear, isn't it? That the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would come one day and would destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came, that we might have eternal life. But the woman's seed would crush the devil's head, and this took place at Calvary, where our Savior triumphed over the devil. But he said Satan would bruise his heel. And I think that heel wound was the Lord Jesus suffering on that cross. Friend, let me tell you tonight, if you're here without him, he took that bruising for you. He was not guilty, but he was willing to be made guilty for me and you. And yes, his heel was bruised. He suffered like no other one. Even physical death. But praise God, not defeat. Because he rose triumphant over death, over sin, hell, and Satan. But that's why he came, wasn't it? He says, I came to give my life a ransom for many. How could you turn one like that down tonight? That's why he came. That's why he left heaven and come and took such a stoop and went to that cross, because he loved me and because he loved you. What a friend. What a Savior. But look at the prophecy again in Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And behold, that word behold in Isaiah always introduces something that's going to happen in the future. Always. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Listen, friend, the context makes it clear, doesn't it? That the virgin is pregnant, but still is a virgin. Many today would like to turn it off from that she really wasn't. Emmanuel shall be his name, God with us. But Micah picks it up also, doesn't he? In Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall a ruler come. And you know, the scripture makes it clear right where he's going to be born. Because there were two Bethlehems. One was about 6 miles north of Jerusalem, belonging to the tribe of Zebulun. And the other was about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, belonging to the tribe of Judah. Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, out of thee among the thousands of Judah, he made it exactly clear, Bethlehem of Judah, the house of bread, that's where he was to be born. We looked at the prophecy of it, of his coming. Let's look a few minutes at the mystery of his coming. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory. Was manifest in the flesh. Christ, the eternal Son, could you grab that tonight, became flesh, human, like me and you apart from sin. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us for one reason, friend, tonight. For one reason, to provide salvation for me and you. Born as a baby. Listen, He was audible. He was visible. He was touchable. They could reach out and touch Him. He touched the blind and they could see. He touched the leper. He was cleansed. The woman touched the hem of His garment and was made whole. Why don't you come tonight and touch Him? Why don't you come tonight and reach out and touch Him and be made whole? That's justified in the Spirit. The flesh refers to His humanity, but the Spirit to His deity. Friends, He proved all He claimed to be. He says they were seen of angels. When was He seen of angels? All through His life. From the very beginning, that night the angel said, glory to God in the eyes. They said, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They knew exactly where He was. Their eyes was upon Him. Seen of angels. Also He was seen of angels in His temptation. Satan realized it. He says, jump down from that pinnacle. He'll give His angels charge concerning you. Watched over Him there. Seen in Gethsemane, where He's on His face, and He's crying out, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And it says, the angels came and strengthened Him. Seen of angels there. Seen of angels in His resurrection. Two women came to the tomb. They want to know where the Savior is. He says, He is not here. Come see the place where He lay. Seen of angels there. Seen of angels in His ascension. As the disciples watched Him go up into heaven. They said, this same Jesus, the angel said, shall come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. Not another one. This same one is coming back. Friend, let me ask you tonight, if He's to come back tonight, will you go with Him? That's a searching question. Would you go with Him? I believe most of us would. But wouldn't that be sad tonight if the Lord was to come back and you was left behind in this small community? You'd say 1,000 times, why didn't I give my heart to Christ on Sunday evening? It'll be too late. Since God will send a strong delusion that you believe a lie and not the truth. I trust you will be ready to go with Him. Indeed, the writer to the Hebrews could say, how great salvation it is. So great a salvation it is, though. The hymn writer put it like this, living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified, freely forever, one day He's coming, oh glorious day, it may be tonight, Satan will be caught up with Him forever, but oh if you're without Him. Don't turn Him away. Another year, the Lord has given you another chance again tonight. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. Don't turn Him away tonight. Why not come and trust Him? Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in the fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a mystery. Humbled Himself. Think about it for a minute. left heaven where everything is good. No sin, no pain, no death, no sorrow there. He left it and humbled himself and came to a dirty, stinky stable and was allowed to be laid in a manger where they feed the animals. Think about that. From heaven to a stable. From a stable to a cross. From a cross to a grave. That you and I might have eternal life. Friends, don't turn him away tonight. He humbled himself that you and I one day might be with him. Great is the mystery of godliness. But we want to look at its necessity. Why? Why did he come? Why was the incarnation essential? Listen, friend, because between deity and humanity, there was a gulf fixed. And Christ bridged it by coming into this world. There was no way we could get to heaven, but Christ came and bridged that gulf. I tell you tonight, I don't know how you could go out of this building without trusting such a friend. Romans 5:19 says this, "For as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners, so by obedience of one shall many be made righteous." One man's disobedience plunged us all into sin, but one man's obedience could place us all in heaven tonight if it but just come and trust him. What a stoop he had to do to make it possible. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You see, God is not one among many, but the only one. As I said to Current last Sunday evening, he is the only way, not one of many ways, the only way, and without the way you cannot go. Without the truth, you cannot know. Without the light, you cannot grow. He's the only way. There's a way that seems right unto man. But the scripture says that way leads to death. But his way leads to life. Eternal. Job says, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that he might lay his hand on us both." Job says, there was no one. 1 Timothy says, "For there is one God." That's it. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Would you come and trust him tonight? We looked at his incarnation. We looked at his manifestation. We looked at his incarnation. We want to look at his manifestation. Unto us, a son is given. Note, the child born is incarnation, but the son given is manifestation. He always was and ever shall be. He did not enter existence at his birth, no, but merely took on a new form of existence. He is the eternal, pre-existent one. John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." You know, when time began, the Word was in existence. The Word was always there. And this word is mentioned 4 times in the New Testament. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word," speaking of Christ. John 1:14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." John 1:1 says, talks of him of a word of life. And in Revelation 19:13 talks about him as the Word of God. You know, since words reveal thoughts of one person to another, Christ is the eternal Word. He is the revelation to mankind. And God has fully expressed Himself to mankind in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16 says this, "For by Him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by Him and for Him." Listen at verse 17. "And He is," not that He was, He says, "He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. He is the great I Am." First Peter says this, "Who was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was planned to come before the worlds were formed." God thought of a plan. The Redeemer was destined to come, destined to die on that cross for me and you. We looked at His incarnation, looked at His manifestation, briefly, His occupation. "The government shall be upon His shoulder." Friend, He is to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came, but they didn't receive Him that way. But He will be one day. Note with me, the cross upon His shoulder. I want to put alongside that tonight, substitution. John 19:17 says, "He, bearing His cross, went forth into the place of His skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." After being beaten by those soldiers, after being slapped the way He was, crowned with thorns, they now put a cross on His shoulder for Him to take up to Golgotha. Listen to me tonight, friend. That cross was not His. That cross was mine and yours. Substitution, but He took it. He was not guilty, and took it up to Golgotha, and let wicked men put Him on it, that He might pay for our sin. The cross upon His shoulder. But look with me, the sheep upon His shoulder. And if I put substitution alongside the cross upon His shoulder, I put salvation with the sheep upon His shoulders. Matthew 15:5 says, "And when He had found it, He laid it on His shoulder, rejoicing." The poor sheep, exhausted from wandering, from exposure, from hunger. But you know, the shepherd didn't mind, did he? He didn't mind that extra burden. He goes out and gets Him. He didn't mind that journey. He goes out and He brings Him home and says, rejoicing. How could He? After going out in that cold, and what caused Him to rejoice? He found the sheep that was lost. Friend, tonight, if you would come, He would rejoice. Heaven would rejoice. You would rejoice. We would rejoice. Ain't you tired of wandering? Ain't you tired of exposure to the world of sin? Ain't you hungering for His salvation tonight? Why not come? Why not come and know that joy of sins forgiven? It cost Him a lot. Them writer put it like this, "But none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere He found the sheep that was lost." But He rejoiced. Why? Scripture says, "Oh, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured that cross. All that suffering that you and I might be with Him." It was joy of one day having me and you with him. How could you turn a friend like that away tonight? We looked at the cross upon his shoulder. We looked at the sheep upon his shoulders. Now about the names of God's people on his shoulders. And I put security alongside of that. Thou shalt put two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. You see, Aaron is a type of Christ. And there he places us on his shoulders. No one could ever erase us from there. What security we have as Christians tonight. But then finally, as we read in our text, the government is upon his shoulder. That's satisfaction. And he shall reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A peaceful, endless reign forever and ever. Friends, as I leave this alone, where are you tonight with Christ? Is he your substitute? Is he your savior? You have to answer. Is he your securer? Is he your satisfier? I trust him. Finally, we look at his designation. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The choir was singing about that. What a name! What a wonderful name! Wonderful speaks of his person and work. But most commentators put it at one word, Wonderful Counselor. Notice counsel. Luke 4:18 says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, the Lord Jesus came to deal with the problems that afflicted mankind. Poverty, sorrow, bondage, suffering, oppression. He dealt with all that tonight. You can come and be free of all that if you would just come and trust him tonight. He gives good counsel. Look at what he gives to Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, Good master, what could I do to have eternal life? Not exact words like that. But he wanted to know the way of salvation. And he wanted it a different way. And the Lord said to him, Let me turn near. Told Lucy, I'm getting Alzheimer's. John 3:7. Verse that I've known since I was a boy. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You see, that's what the Lord was saying to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, there's no other way. You must be born again. He talked to the moral man, and he said, you must be born again. He talked to the immoral woman at the well, and it was the same message. If you want life, you must drink of this water that I shall give you. No matter what class you're in tonight, you must come God's way. He said to the church of Laodicea, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with fire, that thou mayest be rich. Friends, you want to be rich tonight? You say yes, not with material things, rich with his salvation. You want it tonight? You must come to the Savior. He says, And I'll give you white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. He'll clothe you with this righteousness tonight, if you would come. He'll take those filthy, dirty rags that you have and clothe you in His righteousness. You see, that church was self-satisfying. They didn't think they needed anything there to see. How about you tonight? You satisfied with your life? You satisfied the way you're going? I believe you'd be honest with me tonight. You're saying, no, Freddie. I don't want this life. I want that new life. I want to be born again. Why not? Right where you're seated tonight, come and trust me. The mighty God. He's the omnipotent one, isn't he? Co-equal, co-eternal with the Father. When you think of one so high and mighty, one who's in control of everything, we have to say with the psalmist, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Friend, listen to me tonight. He was so mindful of me and you that he gave his darling son to go to that cross and take your place. Will you trust him tonight? As we bring the message to a close, the Prince of Peace. Let me say tonight, he came to bring it. That's why he came. To bring peace. Glory to God on the eyes. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Do you have it? Do you have it? Let me say, he not only came to bring it, but he died to secure it. Again, do you have it? Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. He not only came to bring it, he not only died to secure it. Praise God, he rose to proclaim it. He appeared to those disciples and said, as he stood in the midst of them, said, peace be unto you. He rose to proclaim it. To a troubled world, Christ brings the message of peace. Not only did he rise to proclaim it, but praise God, tonight he lives to impart it. We don't serve or bring to you tonight a dead Savior. He's a risen, glorified Savior. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is not the peace of God, but peace with God. He intercedes to maintain it. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Praise God, he don't give like the world. My peace, Christ promised peace, a peace that is different. Do you have the peace tonight of pardon sin? That's the only real peace you could have tonight. You see, the world gives sparingly, selfishly, or for a short time. Oh, not us, Savior. His gift of peace is forever. Praise God, finally, he shall come again to spread it throughout the earth. Will you be with him? I'll be there. How about you? Friends, as we close tonight, do you have peace with God? Do you know the God of peace? That's it. To know the God of peace. The hymn writer put it like this. Peace, perfect peace. And he asked the question, in this dark world of sin, could it be? And then he answers it. The blood of Jesus whispers, peace within. That's the only way you can find peace. is through the blood of Christ. Do you want it? Will you accept Him tonight? I close tonight by asking a question. Listen. Listen. The question is a question that I cannot answer. The question I'm going to ask tonight, you cannot answer. You say it must be hard. The question I'm going to ask tonight, though a demon came from hell, they couldn't answer it. And though an angel came from heaven, they couldn't answer it. You say, what is that question? Listen, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Tell you it's no escape. It's hell and torment forever. But you could escape tonight if you would accept it. Let's pray. Friend, right where you're seated tonight, right where you're seated, you can invite the Lord Jesus into your heart and life. Are you willing to do that tonight? Do you really want peace? Will you really want to lay your head in that pillow tonight and know the peace of God, peace with God? The only way is through the blood of Christ. Will you come? While it's above, why not right in your seat say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know you went to that cross for me. I ask for your forgiveness. Come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. If you would do that, He will come in. Father, tonight we realize it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by your Spirit. Father, we pray for those in this gathering tonight who might never, ever come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, who don't have this peace of God, who don't know this God of peace. Oh God, we pray tonight. Give them the courage to remain behind. Give them the courage to come and throw open their heart's door and invite the Lord Jesus into their other life. We pray it. In the Lord Jesus' precious and adorable name. Amen. We're going to close by singing maybe just a verse or two of 245. 245. If you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. Are you tired of it tonight? If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now, friend, reject Him no more. Just now, throw open the door and let Jesus come into your heart. We're going to sing the first verse in the service to be over.